Have you ever been faced with an exhaustive list of ideas, wondering which ones to work on? How do you know you're working on the best ideas? Not just a good idea, but the absolute best idea. I'll be right back.
This is the Killer Innovations Podcast with Phil McKinney. Keep in mind that the information and opinions expressed in this podcast are Phil's and Phil's alone, and they don't necessarily reflect those of his past, current, or future employers. Now, here's Phil McKinney.
How do you cull through a list of ideas and find the best one? It's all about working on the best ideas, not just the good ideas. But how do you find the absolute top best ideas that are going to deliver the outcome you or your organization needs or is focused on? Now, a lot of organizations do this by gut. In some cases, an executive steps in and says, wow, I like that idea, and all of a sudden the rest of the organization is aligned behind that idea, all because of a senior executive stepping forward and saying, that's an idea that I personally like. Now, if you put a little rigor, get the emotion out of it, get the hierarchy out of it, if you put a little rigor to it, you're going to be amazed by the results. When I'm evaluating innovations, when innovations are being presented to me or my team, we look at five key questions. Now, these five key questions determine the ranking, what we feel are the best ideas that are out there. Now, to be successful, an idea must be able to answer yes to the first three questions. If you can't answer yes to one of these first three questions, then the idea doesn't even make the first gate. What are the first three questions? The first one is, does this idea improve the customer's experience and/or expectation? Does this idea improve the overall experience the customer has with your product or service? Now, many times people will try to come in and try to get off with the quick answer of saying, yeah, sure, it does. However, ask the follow-on questions. How does it improve? Ask the person to give you the details. How does this idea improve it? Have them walk through and animate what the customer experience is today, and then try to have them paint the picture for you for what that experience is going to be in the future. Can you measure that experience improvement? Is it 2 times better? Is it 5 times better? Is it just barely the same as everything else with just a little bit of improvement? And most importantly, will the customers value it? Is this something that's important to customers? Are they going to pay you a margin premium for improving this experience? Now, the second question is, does this idea improve the competitive landscape from where you sit today? Does it fundamentally change how you're positioned competitively in the market? Now, again, people will try to get off with saying, yeah, sure, it'll improve us. We'll be a better company. We'll have more customers. We'll have a better product. Not good enough. Ask the next set of questions. How does it reposition you in the marketplace? How are you positioned today? And how does this idea reposition you in the future? What would competitors do in a reaction to this change? They're not going to just sit there and be idle. What would be the reaction? If you fundamentally change this competitive positioning, what would your competitor's reaction be? And last, does this fundamental change in the competitive landscape create a barrier to entry? Are you, for instance, repositioning yourself competitively to take advantage of some unique capability you have, such as channel, geography, or whatever, that would create a very high barrier for one of your competitors to come in? So again, how does it reposition you? How would competitors do in reaction? What would they do? Because they're not going to sit there and be idle just because you reposition the market. They're not going to go, woe is me, and go out of business. You're going to get a reaction. And last, does this create a sustainable barrier? Meaning, if you're just changing it and it's only going to last for 30 days, then is it worth that return? Versus, can you create a barrier to entry by repositioning yourself competitively such that you would have a sustained advantage over the marketplace? And the third question, does this idea fundamentally change the economic structure of the industry? If you can find that you can fundamentally change the economic structure, that creates huge value that you can reposition yourselves to capture. So some of the follow-on questions is, what is the current value chain? Who are the ecosystem players? Who are everybody that participates in the value between what your idea is and what the customer receives? Or in the case of, if you're part of a much broader value chain, who is everybody that's upstream from you? Who is everybody downstream to you, to the end user of your product? And what does that look like? And how does each player in that value chain get value? How do they get paid? And more importantly, what's the margin they get from the value they contribute? Then look at what would be the new value chain. So if you're going to restructure the economics of the industry, what's the new value chain? Who are the new players upstream? Who are the new payers downstream? And how does that margin get redistributed? And then lastly, how easy or how hard is it going to be to get the ecosystem partners to fundamentally change the value chain? Now, if you're changing the value chain such that it just advantages you, it's going to be hard to get the other ecosystem players. But if you can restructure the value chain to either take players out completely, bring new players in, and show how they're going to get their own value out of this new value chain, then you're going to be able to get the ecosystem to come along with you. So how easy or how hard is it to restructure this value chain? So again, you must be able to answer yes to one of the following three questions. Does this idea fundamentally improve the customer's experience or expectations about your products or services? Two, does this idea fundamentally change your competitive positioning in the marketplace? And three, does this idea fundamentally change the economics of the industry? Obviously, to your advantage. Now, if you can't answer yes to one of those three questions around a fundamental idea, then why are you doing the idea? It's a total waste of time. Find out, dig into your ideas, and rank them based on those three ideas. Now, they must be able to answer yes to one of those three. And what now is, how do you execute on them? So for each of those three ideas, any one of them that rank at least a yes, a good solid understanding that addresses one of those three areas, then you ask yourself the next two questions. Do you have a contribution to make? This is a good idea, but do you have a contribution to make? Now, you can get ideas that will take you way off into the weeds, way off areas that you have no expertise or background in. So is this aligned with the general space, general market that you're in today, or at least some adjacencies that you're in today? And is this aligned with the expertise and capabilities that you've got within your business? Do you have some knowledge of the market? Do you have some knowledge of that customer? Do you have the ability to reach that customer? So do you have a contribution to make? And then the second question is, will this idea generate sufficient margin? Now, the key question here is, how big is the market? And a unit of measure that's common to use in the industry, or at least in my industry, is the TAM, or the total addressable market. Now, a lot of people go out and they'll use analyst reports or use data that they can get from consultants, and they'll say the total market is 500 million consumers in the world. Now, the reality is you can't reach all those customers. The total addressable market is what is realistically available for you to go after, you and your competitors. What is it that you can address, and then what percentage of that market are you going to grow into? So in this case, what is the total addressable market, and is it big enough? Is it big enough, depending on the size of your business, to be interesting? If you're going after a market that it's a niche of a niche of a niche and there's only 100 customers in the world, then you may not be interested in that market. In some cases, you may if each sale is $1 billion. But the reality is what is your market? Do you really understand what that total addressable market is? And then can you price the product to secure sufficient margin? You know, who else is in that market? How are they pricing? Do you have some unique advantage in creating something that's going to allow you to price it to attract customers in and yet generate sufficient margin? And then based on the total addressable market, based on what you can sell for and what your margin, are you going to get a sufficient margin return? Now, a little back of the envelope rule of thumb that I use is if you add up the total R&D cost to build a product, total R&D rolled up, over the life of a product. So let's say a product is going to last 5 years. So estimate out what your total R&D investment, including all your maintenance in R&D and new feature sets or whatever it is over 5 years. Add that number up. Then go back, look at your business model, and look at the total margin generated for that product. Total margin. And the way you make your decision on whether or not that's a good product or a good investment to make is, you should be looking at a minimum of 3 to 5 times that return on your R&D costs for margin. Now, that's kind of a minimal bar. Now, in some industries, you may be looking at a bar that should be 20, 50, 100 times return on your R&D costs. Now, you obviously know you're a problem when your total margin return is less than your R&D costs, or if it's 1 to 2 times, you know you're not going to return sufficiently because of all the other costs beyond R&D to bring that product to market. So general rule, 3 to 5, more like 5 to 10, good product. North of 10, very good product. But in some industries, and this again, you need to look at your own metrics and figure this out, it may be 10 times. The key is come up with a quick rule of thumb that doesn't require someone to go off and create an entire business case for you to truly understand, can you price the product and are you going to get a sufficient return over the life of that product? Again, you must be able to answer yes to one of the first 3 questions. And then for the second 2 questions, you must be able to answer, do you have a contribution to make? And will this idea generate sufficient margin? Now, for each of the ideas that you've just gone through those 5 questions on, so these are ideas that you've answered all 5 questions, which means you must have a yes in one of the first 3, rank each question from a score of 0 to 5. 0 mean not a fit, we have no idea, it's insufficient margin, we don't have a contribution to make, to a 5 meaning, yes, this thing is going to fundamentally change the expectation, it's a new thing, it's better than sliced bread, or we're going to just blow the margin out, this thing is going to be the new product of the century. Now rank them. So take each one of the questions, rank each question 0 to 5, add the total. So what this tells you is that the top score that any single idea could have is 25 points. Now rank them. Now you're not done. This is only the first 5 questions. This only gets you to the point of what are the better ideas based on the merit of improving the customer's experience, changing the competitive landscape, changing the economics in the industry, you have a contribution to make and you're going to get sufficient margin. Next comes the challenge of how are you going to implement this idea? You can't do this all in a vacuum. This initial ranking is only going to get you the good ideas. Next is how are you going to implement it? How ready is your organization to take these best ideas and actually drive its implementation? So take your top ideas. It could be your top 10 ideas, your top 20 ideas. I wouldn't do your top 5. I'd probably stick with top 10 or top 20 ideas. And now you're going to ask a series of questions that really allows you to measure how ready is your organization to actually go off and execute and implement this. So the next set of questions are, 1, can we get our teams excited? Is this an idea that's going to get everybody all pumped up? Is there enough sizzle with the steak? There obviously has to be steak. There's got to be real return. But is there enough sizzle? Can you create a little bit of sizzle? Is this an idea that you could actually go off and create a little demo to show people what the future is going to look like? Could you create a model? Could you create a software demo? Could you create a little video that projects out what customers' experiences will be 3 to 5 years out? Now, this may sound a little hokey and it may sound like you're trying to spin it, but in my experience, senior executives are what I would call show and tell. It's very hard to give them just pure facts. You got to have the spreadsheets. You got to have all the background. You got to know your facts. But in this case, put your marketing hat on and create a little sizzle. Is this idea one that you're going to be able to create a little bit of sizzle and get people excited? Can you create a vision that people are just going to naturally fall behind and want to be a part of? Second question, Will senior management support it? Now, the key here is understanding the senior management and understanding how they make decisions. So questions you might need to be able to answer is the total investment aligned with the overall ability to fund? If your total market cap for your business or your total revenue for your business is $100 million, but to go off and execute this idea requires $3 billion in cash, guess what? The idea is not one that's going to get funded. So understand what the funding ability is. So don't go off and ask for a $20 million investment when typically for ideas that turn into products historically within the business, they're going to be looking for something that's in the $1 million range. So be realistic, understand how your managers make decisions, and fit within the envelope of their comfort. Now, this doesn't mean that you just naturally just give up on an idea, but what you may need to do is get a couple wins in. Pick some ideas that are still very good ideas that you can show you can execute on, and then gradually increase the budget amounts that they're comfortable with in investing. If you go in with an idea that's just an order of magnitude off their investment history, guess what the answer is going to be? No. Also, is this idea generally aligned with the direction and strategy of the business? Or are you going to ask senior managers to completely throw out everything they know and think and have built up over their careers or within the business and ask them to go in a fundamentally different direction? Now, this kind of ties back to the question about do you have a contribution to make? It's not a bad idea to go into adjacencies, but don't go way off into adjacencies that are way out there. You know, many people talk about, thinking outside the box. The reality is what's the box? Is the box your current business? And can you go to just an adjacency? Or are you creating a box that's just so far out there that you're way beyond the headlights of your organization and your senior managers? Now, we can all get impassioned. It's the best idea. This is the one we ought to go do. Let's not constrain ourselves. You got to deal with the reality of senior managers, people who've got deep experiences, and you got to want to get out there a little bit in front of them, but don't get beyond your headlights. So again, will senior managers support it? Think through the issues. The third question, do we have the skill and expertise to fulfill this? Can we actually go off and execute? So what skills are needed? Do you have an understanding of what kind of capabilities and expertise and skills you need? Secondly, is what skills are missing from the organization? What don't you have in your skill set? Do you have to go out and hire people? Do you go off and you do an acquisition to fill in your skill gap? Where's the skill gap? And then third is could you free up the critical skills to work on the project? Now, I've been in discussions where people come and say, oh, we can go off and do X, and we've got these skills, and here are people who've got these skills, but guess what? Those people are critical skills on the current business, and getting them dislodged to go off and work on something new can be extremely hard, very, very difficult to do. So the key is not just that you know the skill inside your organization, but can you free up that skill to come work on this particular program? And the last question is can we access the customer's preferred channel? How do the customers buy? Who is the customer? How do they currently purchase products or services or experiences today that fall into this category? And what channel is that? What's the go-to-market? And then the next question is do you have a go-to-market mechanism? Sales organization, direct, retail, indirect? Do you have a go-to-market to this channel, or do you need to go create a new go-to-market approach? Now, if you have direct access to a channel, meaning it fits within a channel you've got, it's retail and you've got a retail channel, or it's an indirect and you've got an indirect channel, then you're scoring this a 5. If you have to go off and create a new channel, or you have no mechanism at all, meaning it's an entirely new category, there's nobody else that's even created a channel like that, then guess what? This is going to get ranked lower in the overall ranking mechanism. So again, the questions you're asking are, can we get our teams excited? Will senior management support it? Do we have the skills and expertise to fulfill this idea, to make this idea a reality? And can we access the customer's preferred channel? How are they going to buy this? And can we meet them in that preferred channel? Now, rank each of these questions on a score of 0 to 5. So remember, You've ranked against the initial five questions, top score 25. Now you re-rank them, the top 20 ideas that you've come up with. You're going to rank each of them against these four questions on a score of 0 to 5. Top score is 20. So that means if you've got an idea that's a 19, a 17, and a 15, and then everything else is in the 10s, those are your top ideas. Now, take the top 2 to 3 ideas and prepare idea pitches. Put some more meat behind them. Put a team around each one of those best ideas and have them start to put together an idea pitch. Now, an idea pitch is really simple. It follows the 10-20-30 rule. 10 slides, 20 minutes, nothing less than a 30-point font. It's just about pitching the idea. You want someone who is very enthusiastic, who can actually tell a story, who can get people excited. Put the idea pitches around, create a small team around each one, put a leader in there to help bring this together, to help craft the story, and then go out and try the idea pitches within your organization and see what the reaction is, and then adjust accordingly. Do that to a couple, three, four different groups before you go pitch senior management. Then you get it refined, then you can go before senior management, and then be very clear on the ask. What are you asking for? Money, resources, time, and then what's the deliverable? What does management get in return? Product, services, revenue, margin. Very simple. Don't go more than a 10-20-30 rule because, as I always jokingly say, the higher you go up in the organization that you're going to pitch, the higher the managers are, the less oxygen there is, the less attention span there is. You need to be able to put together these pitches, make them very crisp, make them very clean, and get people excited fast. And remember, the whole idea behind ranking the idea is to get the list of good ideas down to a manageable number. Now keep in mind, you start off with an idea list that could be 100, 200 ideas. How do you get that idea list down? Go through the ranking exercise. The other benefit of this is you're applying some group intelligence to the ranking. Don't let one person do the ranking and that results in the best ideas. Bring a very diverse group, assuming that you've used good diversity. And diversity, in my mind, I'm talking about people with different management layers within the organization, people with different backgrounds, where they come from school-wise, educational, maybe people that came from marketing background, an engineering background, sales background, services background, people with different age categories. So it's not everybody who's, you know, an over 50 male, but you've got a good diversity of age and gender backgrounds. And you want to use this group intelligence because what you want to avoid the risk on is you're going through this ranking exercise that everybody in the room is just like everybody else in the room. And as a result, you end up with an idea that only meets the needs and requirements and the understanding of people in that same demographic. So again, one of the benefits of the ranking is to apply some group intelligence. Get a broad group, get the vote, and let the best ideas win. Also, I would suggest you do the voting privately, confidentially, rather than having the most senior executive in the room stand up and put his votes up or talk and give his votes, because then that will tend to sway everybody else. So I would have everybody do their votes individually, submit them, and then let the best ideas come out. And last, most importantly, I think about going through the ranking ideas is to get people excited and supportive of the best ideas. So this isn't a situation where some manager or some executive picked the idea. This is the best idea that came out of this group. And the result is that now this is an idea that the organization as a whole can get behind, execute, and win, and ultimately create that next killer innovation. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. This is the continuing series on the CD-ROM project for Killer Innovations. The end objective is to create a single CD that you can share with your organization, your staff members, your senior executives, to help give them a little bit of background on how the overall innovation process works and how the Killer Innovation methodology can be applied. Please send your feedback. You can send it by email to podcast@killerinnovations.com. You can also post your comments over at the blog and also at the show notes. So you can visit the blog over at philmckinney.com, or you can post it on the show notes at killerinnovations.com. Also, feel free to link up. You can link with me on Facebook, LinkedIn. Everything's under the podcast at killerinnovations.com. You can find me on Facebook appropriately. Please note that you're a listener. I get a lot of requests from LinkedIn, Facebook, and others. Please let me know that you're a listener, and then I'll accept your invite to connect our networks. Also, pay it forward. All I ask for if you get benefit out of this podcast is to pay it forward, just as I'm paying it forward to you from a mentor that I had earlier in my career who invested a lot of time in giving me good foundations, good schooling, good understanding, a broad set of expertise in my career that helped me get started. The only requirement he made on me was that I pay it forward. My way of paying it forward is this podcast. All I ask of you is to pay it forward to others. Don't forget to vote for your favorite podcast. It's the easiest way to say thanks for the producers of the great content that you enjoy. You can vote over at Dig, Podcast Alley, Podcast Pickle, or wherever you download and get your podcasts. Also, send your listener questions. When we wrap up the CD project, I'll be going back to the normal format of the podcast, and I'll be taking listener questions, so please go ahead and submit your listener questions at podcast@killerinnovations.com. Thanks for listening. I know it's a lot of time out of your busy schedule. I'm trying to get back onto the regular schedule of putting out podcasts on a more regular schedule, so I apologize for these long delays between them, but stick with it. I do appreciate you taking the time. We'll talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.